trying to focus on what to speak to you today on, and my thoughts came to this idea of a covenant. And it was a covenant that Rodney and Beth committed to each other some 70 years ago on the 16th, just anniversary 3 days away. And it was a covenant that has held them together ever since. And that covenant was one that brought all kinds of challenges along the way, opportunities, gave them an opportunity to travel the world, to be places where they'd never been before, to meet people they'd never met before, and to be able to experience life in perhaps some strange ways as well. The covenant of God is a deeply fascinating and fulfilling aspect of who we are, this old idea of a covenant. My wife and I just celebrated our 43rd anniversary on Friday, and we celebrated that covenant together by being with our grandkids and sharing with them the last couple of days, last few days. But God has made a covenant with us. God has made a contract with us. And it is a covenant that is deeply rooted in His love. It is a covenant that is deeply steeped in the authority of Scripture. And it is a covenant that is very much in line with the will of God for all of humanity. Because the Scriptures tell us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith, and that all would have a relationship with Him. And so this morning, just for a few moments, I want to look at this passage in Jeremiah and think just a little bit and be challenged just a little bit about this covenant that God has with us. There is, as we study the Scriptures, what we call the Old Covenant, and then there is the New Covenant. The Old Covenant centers around the law of Moses. The New Covenant centers around Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done to secure our salvation and our redemption. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says the New Covenant is a better covenant because it is founded on better promises. Better promises. And we know that those promises are rich, those promises are secure, those promises are beyond our imagination. Centuries before Jesus came to this earth, God told His people about this new covenant. He prophesied it in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Jeremiah and throughout the minor prophets and the prophets of old. And He said, in effect, this is the kind of God I will be for you. This is the one that you can put your trust in. I am the one that you can trust in. His new covenant is better than the first for a couple of key reasons. Number one, the new covenant is not based on the law, but it is based on grace. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. Number two, the new covenant wasn't made with just one nation of people living in one small part of the world. The new covenant was for all people, to whosoever will, to all races, to all nations. It is made, it is designed, it is specifically intended for all who believe and all who are willing to be transformed by the saving power and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand something that's important. The fact that God would make a new covenant with us tells us something about the nature of God. It tells us something about who God is. He made a new contract, if you will, with the human race. Now, we know that when we make a contract, it's a binding agreement. Or it's supposed to be. There are some people who break their contracts. I had a, I'm having a little bit of work done in my house. I'm having a deck put on. And the price of lumber, of course, scared me out of this world. But I signed a contract with a contractor who was going to come in and build that deck. And he started the work on Friday. So he is beginning, in the beginning stages, of fulfilling his end of the bargain, of fulfilling the contract, of bringing it to code, bringing it to the specifications that we laid out in our earlier discussions. God has given us a contract. God has made a contract for us. And he has done so through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God made that new covenant with the human race in spite of the fact of original sin, in spite of the fact that we are all sinners and we all deserve judgment. God gave us that contract because, basically, we were not able to keep the old one. We were not able to hold it. And so today, I just want to take a moment or so to look at three things about this contract as outlined, this covenant as outlined in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. And the first thing we see here is this, that God says, I am a God you can believe in. I am a God you can believe in. I'm a God you can take to the bank. I'm a God you can trust in no matter what, no matter what comes your way. And in Jeremiah, God tells us that our relationship with him is to be a personal matter. It is a personal relationship. The foundation of our relationship with God isn't built on any political connection. It's not built upon church membership. It's not built upon the denomination that we belong to. It has nothing to do with any of that. It is built on faith. It is built on trust. It is built through a relationship with the living God. Our relationship with God isn't about all of those things. It is a matter of the heart. And so I'm praying and I'm hoping and I'm assuming that every single one of us here today can identify with that. That we see our relationship with God as a matter of the heart. As a matter of our relationship with him. As a matter of our love for him. God gives us an internal compass so that we can know him personally. And you know what that internal compass is? It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that lives within us. In verse 33, Jeremiah says, I will put my law in their minds and I will write it in their hearts. In this new covenant, God takes that internal compass a step further and he gives us the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that lives in us that takes the place of Jesus. Jesus, of course, is risen. He is ascended. He is at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells us that someday he's coming back. But right now, during this time, it's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And as the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are representing Jesus to the world. We are his ambassadors, the Bible says. We are his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so as he lives in us, he speaks through us. He makes his plans known through us. He makes his will manifest through us. It's the Holy Spirit that's in our hearts that guides us into the way of truth. In the scriptures, there's several scriptures. I wish I had time for all of them, but just a couple of them. John 14, verse 17. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And that, of course, is the Holy Spirit that Jesus is referring to. And then in John 16, verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. And then in John 16, verse 12, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So if you're looking for truth, if you're seeking for answers, if you're looking for the truth that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's his Spirit that guides us into all truth. And let me tell you, this world today is having a real tough time to understand what this whole idea of truth is, because everybody defines truth for themselves. And whatever you want truth to be, that will be truth. But truth must always be founded on the Word of God. Truth must always be based upon the teachings of Jesus Christ, or else it's not truth. And the other thing he's done, he's given us direct access to him. Direct access to the throne room means that there's no human mediator. You don't need a priest or a pastor or any kind of human mediation to get you in touch with God. Because you have one mediator, the Bible says. And that one mediator is Jesus Christ. Jesus the rock, the solid rock. We're going to sing that hymn in just a moment. He has given us direct access to himself. And this access is the same for you and me and every other person on this planet. There is only one way given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. When it comes to knowing God, we all come by way of the cross. We all come by way of the same way. There is no other way. Because he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And the scriptures teach us in Jeremiah, he says in verse 34, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And this verse isn't saying that we don't need Bible teachers. It's not saying we don't need preachers or pastors. It's saying that you don't need anyone else. You don't need a priest to come before God. You don't need a pastor to come before God, because God has given you his Spirit, whereby you have direct access yourself. So as a pastor, it's my job to teach the Bible, but your relationship with God doesn't necessarily involve me. Now, I know that may even say, some may say, I don't agree with that. Well, the Bible says that we are all responsible for our souls. We are all responsible for our relationship with him. The only thing I can do is lead you in that direction as a pastor. Your relationship with God is between you and him. And that's important. And it's a matter of the heart. He is a God to believe in. And I'm so glad today that I can know that in my heart. I can affirm that and declare it, preach it. Second thing here in this passage is this, that I am a God you can depend on. I'm a God you can depend on. Not just a God to believe in, but I'm a God you can depend on. I know Beverly and Rodney has depended upon him for many, many years. And they have trusted him through thick and thin, through many difficult times. And I'm sure they would say it over and over again, that they have depended on him, and as they have depended on him, God has blessed their marriage. God has lifted them up. God has brought them through difficult times. In verse 33, God tells us exactly the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. It's kind of what Beverly and Rodney exemplifies. That I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's what God tells Jeremiah. I will be their God. They will be my people. And so he's saying, you belong to me, and I belong to you. And if you're here today, and if you know Christ, that's where you stand. You belong to him. He belongs to you. That the devil cannot snatch you out of God's hand. That you're firm and that you're secure in him. And you can count on his presence forever. A matter of fact, in verse 36 he says, I am as likely to reject my people Israel as I am to do away with the laws of nature. Now that is quite a statement. God will not reject us. He will never forsake us. Verse 37 says, not until the heavens can be measured and the foundations of the earth explored will I consider casting them away forever in their sins. God says to us, I will remember your sin no more, not because of who you are, but because of who I am, and because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, and because of the forgiveness that was offered to you through Christ. And so, God has a way of taking care of us. I can remember many, many times when God has taken care of me and my family, even when we were unexpecting it, even when we weren't looking ahead, even when we weren't looking forward to it. God was taking care of us. God was providing for us. God was being faithful. And I hope every single one of us here today could say that God has been taking care of me in spite of myself, in spite of my stubborn attitude sometimes, in spite of my unwillingness always to yield to Him and to His Word. God has been taking care of me. Yes, me. And because of that, I'll follow Him. And I'll follow Him because He's a God I can truly depend upon. And the Scriptures teach us that we ought to cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. And that God will meet all our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Those are amazing promises. And Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 28. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will wear. Consider the ravens, God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. God clothes the grass of the field. How much more will He clothe you? Promise from the hand of God that He will care for you and He'll provide for you. In your darkest hour, in your weakest moment, in your most desperate times, we can depend on Him. We can trust in Him. We can trust in His Word. The third thing that Jeremiah tells us is this, that I'm a God also that you can turn to. When you come to the end of yourself, when you come to the end of your rope, when it seems like everything else has failed, when it seems as though everything else is useless, when you have nowhere else to turn, you can turn to Him through Jesus Christ. You can turn to Him because of what Jesus did for you, because of what He's done for me on the cross. If guilt is eating you up, if regrets are holding you back, you can turn to God. If you can't find peace in your heart, you can find rest in the hand of the Almighty, in His sovereign power. For I will forgive their wickedness, Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah. In verse 35, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. When you need forgiveness, He is a God who you can turn to. He offers that forgiveness, complete, all-encompassing, absolute forgiveness. Powerful forgiveness. Amazing forgiveness that goes with His amazing grace. And so this is the new covenant God made the human race, that God has made with you, God made with me. The same, we can liken it to a marriage relationship. We can liken it to a commitment that a couple has made to one another. Whether it be 70 years or whether it be 70 days, God seeks to be the very center of it. God seeks to be at the very essence of it. Jesus began His ministry on earth and He made that covenant that He would seek and save those who were lost. And those without Christ today, those who are out in the world, are lost. They're undone. They have no hope. They have nothing to look forward to. Only God can save to the uttermost. Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist says, that takes away the sin of the world. That is what Jesus did, and He paid the price for your sin. When He died on the cross, the sins of the world were placed on His shoulders. He took your sin, He took my sin, and He paid for them all. The Apostle John says it like this, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. John also says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's just how much we can depend on him to care for us. And so God has made this eternal covenant with us. God has made this everlasting covenant. The idea of a covenant is deeply rooted in the very nature of God himself. The idea of a covenant between a husband and a wife, the idea of a covenant between a pastor and his people, the idea of a covenant in our relationships together as a church, as a body of Christ, working together for the glory of God, that is something deeply rooted. And that is something that God is amazed at and God has blessed us with. And so in this covenant, he makes himself available to us. He is a God we can believe in from the heart. He is a God we can depend on, and he'll take care of us. And he is a God we can turn to even when we have nowhere else to turn. And God richly bless us as we think about this covenant today. As we celebrate with Beverly and Rodney, as we celebrate relationships, as we celebrate what it is to deepen those relationships, about encouraging them, about fanning the flame of goodwill, fanning the flame of blessings, may it overflow, may it be something that will give us hope and encouragement. And all we need to do is accept God's offer to do it his way, not our way, because when we do it our way, that's when we mess it up. When we do it God's way, he is at the very center of it, and he blesses us. So this covenant is the foundation of our relationship with God. It never changes. We are to believe from the heart, depend upon him with all our daily needs, and turn to him for mercy, and to turn to him for forgiveness. And I trust that that's something you have to do today, that you'll do that. And that you'll trust him for what he wants to do in your life. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for your word. We just give you thanks for this eternal covenant. This is a covenant not made with hands. It has nothing to do with brick or mortar. But it comes from the very pinnacle of your throne. It's at the very center of your heart. Because, oh God, you desire us to have goodwill with one another and blessings as we seek you in our lives day by day. Again, Lord, we just pray for Rodney and Beverly. Thank you for them. Pray for each and every one of us, Lord, in all our relationships, that we might seek the truth of that eternal covenant that is so important, that is so filled with majesty and awe. We pray this in your most precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our last hymn.